Please appreciate that. People need the Lord, and we need to be telling people about the Lord. I want to call your attention to some scripture found in Haggai. If you would like to turn to Haggai, the first chapter of Haggai, I want to begin reading and read just a short scripture lesson from Haggai chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. And I do ask an interest in your prayers today. Haggai chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. The title of my message today will be Consider Your Ways. And I want to say in the beginning of this, and we find in these eight verses that I read, that both in verse 5 and verse 7, it is recorded twice. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord saying this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, I want to also say that it's not really today, and I want to use those two verses as my text verses today, as we think about the thought of considering our ways. But it's not really the context of what was being spoken of here is not really what I want to speak about today, because when this was spoken to them, the reason that it was spoken was because they were procrastinating in the rebuilding of the temple. They were saying it's not time. And so the Lord, through the prophet Haggai, comes to them and says, well, then what is it time for? Is it time for you to dwell in your own sealed houses while the house of God lies in waste? Consider your ways. But as I said, it's not really that context that concerning the rebuilding of the temple that I want to speak about today. That was what was happening that prompted God to say to them at that time to consider their ways. But you and I today we're not rebuilding the temple. The days of the temple are long since past. And I know there are things here that certainly we could look at from a spiritual perspective, but you know, the Lord has, about 2,000 years ago, He organized His church. The temple worship doesn't exist anymore. So if we're going to get something out of this for us in our day, it's not going to be about rebuilding the temple of the Lord's house. But I believe the overall teaching here was good for them in their day, and it's good for us still today. And the overall teaching here was that, are we doing things the way that they should be done? Are we doing that which is right? Are we doing that which is proper? Are we letting the work of the Lord go and taking care of everything else, or are we putting our priorities where they ought to be and giving priority to the work of the Lord? And so the question, I believe, for us in our day is, are we doing that which ought to be done? Are we doing that which is proper? Are we doing that which is right? Are we doing it in the right manner? And so in this way, then I think that we need to consider this same thought. And I believe this today, that God would have us today, you and I today as His people, that God would have us today to consider our ways the same as He did, the same as He desired for the people of Israel in the days of Haggai the prophet to consider their ways. In fact, we ought to periodically consider our ways. We ought to take a good look. And now I'm afraid today that this message and what the nature of this message will be, I'm afraid today that many times that we have a fear. We have a fear. We are afraid to really take a good look. I'm afraid oftentimes we would rather just not see. We would rather just go on and pretend that everything is fine and just not really take a good look and really not consider our ways. Because, you know, I believe deep down inside of us as the children of God, I believe that all of us know today that when we really begin to consider our ways, when we really begin to take a look at ourselves, that we're going to find some unpleasantries there. We're going to find some things there that we just don't care to see. We're going to find some things there that we really don't want to consider about ourselves. But I'll tell you, I believe that we can benefit if we will, from time to time, take a good look. And so I want to, for us for a moment, to think about this in a natural way. You know, we today, we have something in our homes and we have something in our church buildings and we have these things in public places. And there's something that's real common today that you and I are very used to, and that is a mirror. You know, I mean, everywhere you go, it seems you can find a mirror. You can, you know, no doubt you have one at home in your own private facilities. You can find them in public facilities. And we have these things called mirrors. And when you look in them, you can see a reflection of yourself and you see what it is that you look like. And I don't know if you, you know, I mean, most of us, we don't stand in front of the mirror looking at ourselves. But you know, there's something you can do. If you walk past a mirror and just take a glancing look, you're not going to really pick up on the imperfections that you have. I'm talking about from a physical way. You know, ladies, they sit in front of the mirror and they spend a lot of time putting on their makeup, and that, I just think that's great. I'm not going to say anything against that for sure. But, you know, if you take a mirror, and the point that I want to make is, if you take a mirror, if you stand in front of a mirror, if you look at that mirror, you know, head on, if you turn your head to the left side, if you turn your head to the right side, the longer that you stand there and the longer that you look, whether you would be looking at your face or whether you would be holding your hand out in front of you and turning it over and turning it back and forth, the longer that you stand there and look, you know what's going to happen? The more imperfections that you can find. And sometimes I'm afraid that in consideration of our ways, that we would rather just take that glancing look. We would rather just take that quick look and say, well, you know, everything's okay. We would rather not stand there for too long in front of the mirror and really take a good look, because we have, I believe we have in the back of our minds and deep in our hearts, we realize that the longer we look, the more that we're going to find that we don't like. And so, you know, oftentimes that stunts and that staggers our self-examination because of the fact that we would just rather not do that. We are just not willing sometimes. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm afraid sometimes. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I still believe it today. I'm afraid sometimes that we as the people of God, I mean, we know there are things that wherein we need to improve. We know there are sins in our lives that we need to get rid of. But I'm afraid sometimes we would rather just not think about it. We would rather just not dwell on it. Sometimes we don't really want to see the sin in our life, do we? We'd rather just think that everything's okay, everything's all right, and you know, if I don't look, I won't see. If I don't look, I won't feel bad. If I don't look, I won't realize those imperfections. I don't mind taking the glancing look, but I'm not going to stand there and stare, and I'm not going to look too deep, and I'm not going to go too far with this thing, because I know just as sure as anything that the more I look, the more I'm going to find. But, you know, when we consider our ways, I believe self-examination is certainly one of those areas in which we need to consider ourselves, or one of those ways whereby we need to consider ourselves. Take a good look at yourself. Take a good, and don't take that glancing look. Take a good, long, hard, deep look at yourself. Consider your ways. Think about what was said here. And I realize that in this scriptures that were read here in the book of Haggai, I realize that he was talking to them collectively. He was talking to them as a nation of people. We today, as the church, we can do the same thing. We can take a look at ourselves collectively. We can take a look at ourselves as a body. We can consider our ways in that way. But you and I, as individuals, we can also take a good look at ourselves from time to time. We can consider our own ways and see what it is wherein that we are lacking, wherein that we are failing. Because listen, you can't ever fix anything without knowing that it's broken. And we can't ever fix anything, and we can't ever move closer to God, and we can't ever walk a closer walk and walk a more proper walk with God if we are afraid to consider our ways and see what's there. We can benefit from self-examination. But I want to give you this warning. I'm sure you've read this verse of Scripture many times. I'm sure that you have heard this verse of Scripture many times. When you begin to use the means of self-examination, there's one thing that you have to keep in mind. There's one thing that you have to realize about yourself, that by the nature of Adam that we have, is that we have a tendency to justify the things that we do. And the scriptures, they teach us that. Look at what is said in the 16th proverb in verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And so when we are doing this self-examination, we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of the fact that we are going to be tempted. We are going to have the tendency, when we see something with ourselves that is not right, when we see something that God brings to our realization, that's not right, that's not proper, that's not the way that it should be done. When we see things, you know, listen, I think that all of us realize this today, that there are many things that exist among us today. There are many things that exist among the church today that we seem to have a hard time calling these things sin, that our forefathers, not very many generations removed, they would have had no problem at all calling it sin. No problem whatsoever. But, you know, we have, in many ways, we have become callous, and we have got used to the dark, and we have got used to sin, and we look at these things oftentimes, and I believe deep down inside, we realize this is wrong, we realize that this is sin, but here comes that nature that we have of making things clean in our own eyes, and so we begin to justify things, and we begin to say, well, you know, that's really not so bad, is it? But let me tell you something, friends, sin is sin, it's always been sin, and it's always going to be sin, and no matter how you and I, when we see the sin in our lives, no matter how that we try to justify it to ourselves, God will still see it as sin. He'll still see it as sin. And so we need to realize that we have a nature about us that we have to fight. If we're going to, listen, if you're going to really take a good look at yourself, you're going to have to fight that nature. If you are going to become willing to expose yourself in your own eyes and take a good look at your life, take a good look at the way you live from day to day, take a good look at your own ways, you're going to have to fight that temptation. You're going to have to fight that nature that we all have to justify our actions and to make our ways clean in our own eyes. Now, you don't have to answer this publicly. I'm not asking you to do that, but you just think about it in your own heart and in your own life. Have you ever looked at something in your life that you know is not right? You know it's wrong. You know you ought to get rid of it, but you find yourself trying to justify that? I'll tell you what, if you've never done that, you're a stronger person than I am. We have that tendency to make things clean in our own eyes. Well, you know, there's another method that we can use in considering our ways. And that's really what this word consider here was talking about. The word when God said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways," he wasn't talking about taking the quick look. To consider something is to really look at it honestly and to really dwell on it and to really think about it. That's what you do when you are considering something. Don't just have a fleeting thought about your ways, but consider your ways. Lay those ways out before you. Take a good look at them. And, you know, when we as the people of God, we need to have a standard. We need to realize what we are trying, or we need to have an objective, rather. We need to realize what it is that we are trying to accomplish when we consider our ways. Otherwise, it would just be foolish for us to even do it. So what is our objective? When we consider our ways, we are not to be considering our ways to see if they will lead us into great fame. We're not to be considering our ways to see, well, is the way I'm going in life going to make me prosperous? Is it going to make me rich? Is it going to make me wealthy here in this world? When we consider our ways, our objective, in order to be done properly, our objective must be, are the ways of me pleasing to the Lord? Amen. That's the objective. That's the rule that we need to go by. In that same proverb, in verse 7 of Proverbs 16, Solomon said, "When a man's ways please the Lord." And that's what we need to be looking for. That's what we need to be striving for. You know, not that we would just make each other happy. Well, if I do this, is it going to make, you know, this person happy, or is it going to make that person happy? No, we need to consider how in our life that we can conduct ourselves to please the Lord. That's how we need to consider our ways. That's what was happening here when God said to this nation of people, "Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." There were things that were not being done that needed to be done. As I said earlier, there were things that should have been priority among them, and they were not priority. They were more concerned about themselves. They were more concerned about their own living. They were more concerned about their own houses than they were the house of God. And listen, when it's that way among the people of God, God is not pleased. And when our ways lead us in that direction, then God's not happy with our ways. When we become selfish, when the things that concern us mean more than the things that concern God, then God's not happy with that. And those ways are not pleasing to the Lord. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to fight that too. Because we have got that selfish nature. Now, before I move on to the next method, here's another way I believe that we missed, and that we missed the boat. When we think about the scripture, consider your ways. Because I want you to think about this personally. I want you to think about this concerning your own life. Consider your own ways. But I think sometimes that what happens is, and what hinders us from considering our own ways, is we have got this verse of scripture mixed up, and we think that God said to us, consider that person's ways. Because it seems to me that oftentimes, and I believe if we're going to be honest with ourselves today, that we'll be willing to admit this, but it seems to me that oftentimes that we have a much easier time considering our brother's ways or our sister's ways than we do our own ways. We have a much easier time seeing what's wrong with somebody else than what we do with ourselves. Amen? Oh, did you see brother so-and-so? I can't believe he did that. Let me tell you what Jesus said about that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Let me tell you something. If you want to find fault with me today, if you want to find imperfections in me today, if you want to find imperfections in me as a man, if you want to find imperfections in me as a husband, if you want to find imperfections in me as a father, as a grandfather, as a preacher, as a pastor, if you want to find imperfections in me in all of those areas of my life today, I'll guarantee you, you can find them. You can find them. I'll guarantee you that I'm not perfect in any of those things. And I'll make the same guarantee that neither are any of you. None of us. None of us are perfect. But Jesus asked that question. Why? Why is it, or how is it, perhaps, that you can see that mote, and that word there, mote, is in reference to something small, perhaps a little piece of a shaving or a blade of grass or something like that. That's the way that word is defined. In its original, that mote refers to something small. And Jesus is saying, how is it that you are able to see that mote that is in your brother's eye and you can't see the beam? And that was talking about a large timber. You can't see that beam that's in your own eye. And I'll guarantee you this, that it's true with every one of us today, that every little fault that we can find in our brother or in our sister, if you're willing to consider your ways and take a good look, you'll be able to find a great big fault with yourself. Sure enough, I believe that's what Jesus was teaching us there. Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel a lot of times. You can see that little bitty thing in somebody else's eye, but can't see that huge log in your own eye. Why is that? Why is that? Because we just don't really want to consider our own ways a lot of times. We would rather just cast off on somebody else. We would rather see somebody else's imperfections and perhaps try to make ourselves feel a little bit better about ourselves. But listen, we need to, each one of us as individuals, we need to consider our own ways. We can do that, as I said, by self-examination. We can just look at ourselves and consider what we do day in and day out. Is this pleasing the Lord? Is it not pleasing the Lord? I'll tell you what, right here is a great way. Amen. Right here is a fantastic method for considering your ways. You can open this good old book up and you can find some of the greatest instruction in this about what God expects us to be as a child of God. Amen. We can open this up to one place. I'll give you one passage. You can open this book up to the 12th chapter of Romans and you can find where Paul wrote to the Romans. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can turn there and you can read those two verses and you can just look at yourself and you can say, have I done that? Have I presented my body a living sacrifice to God? Have I yielded myself to God and to His service? Have I turned myself over to the Lord since He saved my soul? Or am I more involved in the things that concern me? Am I being conformed to this world, or am I actually and honestly being transformed by the renewing of my mind, that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God are what really matter to me? If you're not afraid to take a look, go ahead. Go ahead and read how Paul said that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Go ahead and read how Jesus said that we are to pray for them that despitefully use us. Go ahead and read about how the Lord Jesus said we're not supposed to be finding that mote in our brother's eye and overlooking the beam in our own eyes. Go ahead and read how that the Lord Jesus taught us that if we want to be a disciple, that we've got to deny ourselves, that we've got to take up our cross, and we've got to follow after Him. You want to see where you're at in the service of the Lord? Open the good book and consider your ways. Amen. Take a good look, because this will tell you everything. This will give you every instruction that you need to know. But I'm going to tell you before I close here, I'm going to tell you what I believe the best method is. I believe David found it. I believe it's recorded in the 139th Psalm. God can show you, God dealing with us through His Spirit, He can show us things about ourselves. I believe sometimes things perhaps we didn't even realize existed there. Let's turn there. Psalm 139. Let's see what it was that David did. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe this takes a lot of nerve. I believe this takes, in order for a person to do this, I believe they really want to know. I believe that in order to do this, you would really have to have a desire to know about your ways, to know whether they're right, to know whether they're pleasing the Lord. Because look at what David did in the 139th Psalm, in the last two verses of that Psalm. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of life everlasting. Let me tell you something. If you go before God with a pure heart, with a pure desire, and you call upon the name of God and you say, God, search my heart. Search me. Find those wicked ways in me. Show me what they are. I guarantee you, God will answer that prayer. He'll answer it. Show me, Lord. Show me where I really stand with you. Oh, you can dismiss this. Sure as anything. No doubt, probably some of you already said, well, can't he find anything else to preach about? Surely there's something better than that. But you know what the Bible says, that we are to consider our ways. We are to consider our ways. If our ways are not pleasing to God, then our ways need to be changed. I'm going to tell you something. If you're here and you're lost today, you ought to consider, you ought to really consider the shape that you really are in. You're lost. You're separated from God. If you've not been born again by the Spirit of God, you are lost and you are separated from Him and you are condemned already and you are on your way to eternal damnation and ruin. You're on your way to a place where the love and mercy of God will never be afforded you ever again. And you need to come to God and you need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord for the salvation of your soul, that He may save you by His grace and keep you by His power and deliver you to heaven when this life is over. Friends, let me tell you something. Going through Him is the only way you're ever going to get there. You can't change your stripes. You can't change your spots. You can't change your color. You can't change your nature. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No. But God can. We can't change our own nature, but God can change it. God can give you a new nature. God can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to ask you what you will do today with God's Word. Because the pivotal point of all this is, am I really willing to take the look? Am I willing to consider my ways? Sometimes I preach. You know, sometimes God just liberates me to preach. And I've heard it said when other brethren, you know, would get up and God would just liberate them to preach. God would just really help them to preach, and they preach, they preach Jesus Christ to the lost people present, and then, sometime later somebody says, "Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know if I was a lost person, I don't know, I couldn't have sat still, I couldn't have listened to that and sat still. I don't know how they do that." Well, that's true. But you know what? God can liberate us in the same way to preach to the people of God. And we can ignore it. We can just choose to do nothing with it. And so I'm going to leave you with this question today. Are you willing? Are you willing to consider your ways? to see how they line up with God's word, to see how they line up with God's ways. Because let me say this to every one of us. You may think more highly of yourself than you ought. I don't know. But I'll say this to every one of us. If you'll really take an honest look, going back to what I said about standing in front of the mirror, if you'll stand there and really take a look and really examine, the imperfections begin to surface. We begin to see things that need to be changed, and we'll never know. We'll never know those things unless we're willing to consider our ways. We can take the first two or three chapters of the book of Revelation, and we can read about those churches even. And we can read about the things that, like the church at Ephesus, we can read about all of the good things that they were doing. But the Lord said, I've got somewhat against you. Because, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs what? The spirits. The Lord can look down into the inner core. He can look down to the deepest part of us. He can see those things. He knows what's going on. And God can help us. Like David was asking him, Lord, help me. God can help us to really see, to really consider our ways. And so that's what the Lord gave to me to bring to you here today. I tried to preach it. What you do with it will be between you and the Lord. But we can benefit. We can greatly benefit if we're willing to consider our ways. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I appreciate your attention today, and I pray that God will help us all. We can get closer and closer and closer and closer to God, can't we? We can, if that's what we desire. I've always thought, I know this hasn't happened in a long time to anybody, but I've always thought, as you continue to try to get closer and closer to God, if you haven't been translated yet, you can still get closer. Enoch got so close that God just took him up. If that hasn't happened to you, then you can still get closer to God. And we're all still here, aren't we? So we can obviously get closer to the Lord. So I appreciate your attention, and I pray that God will get glory and honor out of what's been said today. We may have a verse or two of a song before we dismiss. Let's stand and sing together.
Number 375. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Thank you.
Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and hear Brother Rogers bring the message. Thank you for being here today. All right, Chandler Park today at 2:30. Let's remember that. Remember this. Anyone else? Brother Duff, will you pray the benediction, please?